when we play sports or when we play any game, you know, Pictionary or Monopoly or Scattergories or anything like that, right? What is the object of the game? To win. I mean, you don't play games to lose. No object of any game is to try to lose. Otherwise, then that would be winning, and so you'd still be trying to win. Okay, but every game has its own rules on how you win that game. Right? How do you obtain victory, let's say, in football? Okay, is victory given to the team that has the cleanest uniforms at the end? Is that how you win? No. Is victory given to the team that punts the most? No. What about the team that passes the most? Now, how do they decide who wins? It's whoever has the most points when time runs out. So the rules are, you play by the rules, but the object is to have the most points at the end of the game. That's how you win. That's how you get victory. All right, imagine if I was coaching, and I coached, assistant coached the middle school football team this last year. Let's say I was coaching the middle school football team in here at Henderson. And that I, as a coach, you know, didn't know the rules, didn't know how to win, but I thought that it's whoever punts the most wins the football game, right? And so I go out, we practice and do all this stuff. We come out for our first game, and we get kicked off too, and I say, drop on the ground. So we drop on the ground, and first down, we get out there and punt. Right? And I'm like, yes. I write down on my little thing, it's 1-0. We're up 1-0, because that's how we win the game. And I tell our kids, you know, we kick this ball off, do not tackle them. Let them go. And so we let them run it all the way back, and I'm like, yeah. They can't, because they can't punt if they can't, you know, get tackled. So we just start running up the score, and the kids are looking at me like, what are you doing? And the fans are booing and yelling, what is this coach? We got a moron for a coach, right? But at halftime, we're up 15-0. We punted 15 times. The scoreboard says, you know, something totally different. And by the end of the game, I mean, I just cannot believe how crazy that opposing coach is. It's easy. You just punt the ball, right? And so we win 45-0 by my count. But at the end, I mean, the other team's excited. The other fan, I'm like, what are they excited about? We just won. But everybody's convinced that, you know, I got to be out of here because I obviously don't understand the rules of this game. Okay, that would be nuts. But that's what would happen if you thought that you got victory by doing something other than the rules say how you get victory. Okay, and I give to you that the world today and most of the people on this earth are going through their lives. They want victory. No one wants to lose. People want to win in life. They want their victory. But they don't understand how victory is defined. They got it defined in a way that is opposite from the guy who makes the rules. And who makes the rules? God. But I think all of us, I mean, to a big degree, are tricked into playing for rules like we're punting to win the game. And we're trying to get victory through all these other ways, not the way that God says that we get victory. Okay, whose rules are we playing by? And that's the title of this sermon. Whose rules? Is it God's rules or the world's rules? If you're able to, please stand with me this morning. We're going to read from 1 John chapter 5, the first five verses. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Whose rules are we playing by? The Bible says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Let's pray. Dear God, we want to live a victorious life. Allow us to define victory the way you define it, Lord, and not the way the world defines it. May you be with us this morning. Help me to rightly divide your word of truth, and that all things that I say are checked against your Bible, your word that you've given to us. I thank you and praise you for your Son and for bringing us together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So we want victory as Christians, do we not? And sometimes we think, you know, as a Christian, we're destined to live a life of defeat, and that there's something godly about living a life of defeat, but that could not be further from the truth. We are to live in victory. We just sang a song, Victory in Jesus. You're like, yes, that's what I want to hear. You know, so we're supposed to have millions of dollars. We're supposed to have vacation homes. We're supposed to have multiple cars. We're supposed to be loved by the world. We want to, is that what you're saying, Pastor? You know, that we're to live in victory, so we're supposed to, you know, have fame, and we're supposed to have great things happen to us all the time. We're supposed to have our best life right now, right? if we're to live victoriously. I say, no. We're not to have that stuff at all. We're to live victoriously. You say, but you just said we're not supposed to have all this money and all this fame and all this success. And that. No. That's because our rules for victory have been totally taken over. We don't look at victory from what the Bible says. We're looking at victory from what the world says. And the world says that all those things are victory. But that's not what the Bible says. We are to live victorious, but whose rules are we playing by? You've seen that bumper sticker? That he who dies with the most toys wins. That's the world's rules. I mean, if they don't say it, that's what we act like. And all of us, we have been duped into this. All of us can fall into that so easily. That we think, you know, we got to get this stuff. We got to get this money. We got to be loved by the world. We want good things to happen to us. All these things, that's victorious living. It's not what the Bible says. Victory is overcoming the world. We see that down in verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So victory is going to be living with God for eternity. That's what victory, that's the spoils. Okay, but Satan tries to define what the rules are. And tries to get us to follow him and follow his rules and go after what he says is victory. Okay, it's one thing for a football coach to be wrong, right? To think that punting wins you a ballgame. That's stupid. But it's another thing for us and the whole world to be going after things that do not matter and things that actually hurt you as far as victory. I mean, being rich hurts you as far as true victory. Being loved by the world hurts you as far as true victory. That's what the Bible says. So we need to understand the rules on how victory is obtained because we want to be victorious. We don't want to be losers. We want to win. And the game that we're playing is not, you know, see who gets the most stuff. Our game is against Satan's world system. The game that we're playing is against the way he tries to blind the world. Against all the things he does to try to distract us. We're playing against all those things he tries to do to keep people from coming to the truth, which is right here. I mean, people can read this truth, and yet they're like, well, they're blinded, they're skewed because they've got what the world says is victory, and they're like, I can't do that. That's too tough. And so you get preaching all the time today about having victory in the financial realm and being, you know, rich and famous and popular, all these kind of things, and living that way, healthy and wealthy and all these things. That's not what the Bible says. The game is us versus the world. Each of us individually. Again, in verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So if we want to have victory, how do we win in this battle that we're in this life that we're in, this game that we're in, how do we win? We're told in verse 4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. So we have to be born of God to overcome the world. If we're playing against the world, God has told us right here, it's very simple, we got to be born of God to overcome the world. We have to be born of God. Okay? Isn't everybody born of God? The world says, you know, we're all God's children. Is that true? No. We're children of the devil when we're born. We're all born out of our mother's womb, but we're not children of God. We have to be adopted into the family of God. Romans 8:15. Now, God so loved the world. He loves everybody. I can love people that are not my children, but that doesn't make them my children. We have to be born of God. Okay, so how can we be born of God? Because that's the requirement to win and to have victory, is to be born of God. Let's look at verse 1. Chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. I hope so. Hey, the Bible is not, you know, confusing. It's very clear. God's not trying to blind the minds. That's Satan. The Bible says here, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And to be born of God, we have to be in order to have victory, to overcome the world. So, first we want to figure out who is eligible to be born of God. What's that first word of that verse say? Whosoever. Does that mean a millionaire could be eligible to be born of God? Yeah, whosoever. What about a prostitute? Whosoever. What about a single mom working two jobs? She eligible? Whosoever. Okay? What about anybody in the world? Yes, whosoever, the Bible says. Okay, this was prophesied in the Old Testament in the book of Joel. The Bible says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Because at one time it was God's people was Israel. It was the nation of Israel. But when the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost, it was given to Gentiles, Jews. Okay, throughout the book of Acts, we see it given to the Gentiles. It's to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Jesus said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. Jesus didn't say anything other than whosoever. So we want to know, what are the requirements to be born of God? It's whosoever. Anybody. Now is that, does everybody believe that, that anybody can come to God? Are there churches, are there teachers that teach that you cannot, it's not whosoever, that you have to be God's elect. Okay, that teaching is called what? Calvinism. Okay, Calvinism says that you have to be one of God's elect. You got to be one of God's chosen people. Okay. I give to you right away that there's a problem with calling yourself Calvinist. If you start to study and research, people fall into different camps. People say, I'm a Calvinist. I give to you right there that that's a problem. If we're a Bible believer, it's a problem to call ourselves a Calvinist. What if I preach and teach, you know, like I'm doing, would you come out today and say, yes, I'm a Smithite, or I believe in Smithism? There's a problem. If I'm teaching something that can be defined as Smithism, our elders should rebuke me sharply, and if I won't change, I'm taken out of the pulpit. Right? Because I should be teaching what's in the Bible. I shouldn't be teaching anything that can be defined as my name, Smithism, and that just sounds wrong to us. You know, to say I'm a Smithite. I believe in Smithism. But you see this all the time in our Christian. It's creeped on us so slowly that we're born into it. I mean, think of the denominations. We got Lutheran. Who's that after? Luther. Wesleyan. John Wesley. Mennonite. Menno Simons. I mean, we have things that are named after people. Is that biblical? To name yourself and say, I'm following this person? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Taking a little side road here, just looking at naming ourselves after people. I would hope nobody would feel comfortable being called a Smithite. You know, I sure wouldn't. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now just look at what the Bible says. First Corinthians 3, verse 3. For ye are yet carnal. Is it a good thing to be carnal? No, that means fleshly, worldly. It's not good. We want to be spiritually minded, not carnal. To be carnally minded is death. We don't want to be carnal. But Paul writes here, for ye are yet carnal. For where is there among you envying and strife and divisions? Are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. The planter is nothing, the waterer is nothing, these men are nothing. Paul was nothing, Apollos was nothing. Christ is who we believe in. It's God that gives the increase. Christ is who we should follow. Who is Luther, this could say? Who is Calvin? Who is Menno Simons? Should we identify ourselves with anybody other than Christ? No, that's to be carnal. To say, I'm a follower of him, I'm a follower of her. That's exactly what was talked about in 1 Corinthians 3. So hopefully if we're asked to, you know, who do we follow? Who should it be? Christ. Okay, specifically, what do you believe? It should be the Bible. I mean, we're going to fail, we're going to learn stuff all the time, but what is our guide? It's not what John Calvin said, it's what the Bible says. We don't want to be carnal. We don't want to get following men. We want to follow the Bible. And what does the Bible say about who can be born of God? Whosoever. Whosoever can be born of God. Anybody can. Let's go back to 1 John 5. 1 John chapter 5. That's an amazing, just the first word, whosoever. The weak, the strong, the poor, the rich. Whosoever means whosoever. There's nothing that you have done that you could do that you cannot come and be born of God. There's no sin too much that you cannot come to God, that you cannot call upon His name and be saved. It's whosoever. There's not a requirement that you got to meet, you know, change your life to such and such a degree, and then you're worthy to be a Christian. It's whosoever. Whosoever can be born of God. Anybody can be born of God. But how are we born of God? Look in verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. It's simple again. All we have to do to be born of God is to believe that Jesus is the Christ. You must believe. What does it mean to believe? You say, don't be silly. We all know what believe is. But even in the world, we use believe differently. Because I do. I believe in President Obama. Right? I believe he's a president. I believe he exists. I can go touch him. I know. I believe he's from Chicago. I believe he's in the White House. I believe he's a real man. So I believe, I don't think he's like Santa Claus, so I believe in Barack Obama. But on the other hand, I don't believe in Barack Obama. Just like I don't believe in President Bush. I didn't believe in, you know, President Clinton. I'm not following them. So believe in our society can mean just what it means in the Bible. We can believe facts about somebody, and we can believe and follow them. Right? So there's two parts to believing, and with Jesus Christ and with anybody, it has to be both. I can't say, yes, I'm a follower. I believe in President Obama, but I don't think he really exists. It doesn't make sense. So we have to know the facts about President Obama, and then we say, make up our mind, are we going to follow Barack Obama? Same thing with Jesus Christ. Okay, we have to believe the facts about Jesus Christ first. Jesus, in Matthew 16, he asked his disciples, whom say ye that I am? He said, who do you say that I am? Because people were saying, some are saying, you know, you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Isaiah. Some say you're, we don't know. He said, well, who do you say that I am? It's important to Jesus that we know who he was. And Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Jesus said, blessed are you when you know who he is. We must know that Jesus is the Christ. He's not a Christ. He's not one choice. He's not just one Savior. We're not coming and looking for more Christs or more Messiahs. It's done. It is finished, Jesus said. He is the Christ. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's Jesus Christ. We must know he is the Christ. Look at verse 5 in 1 John 5. Bible says, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? I mean, when the Bible says who Jesus is, we must believe it. He is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He's not an angel. He's not a man just like you or I that was born from a father and a mother. He had a mother that was a virgin that was conceived by the Holy Ghost. Who is Jesus Christ's father? The one that begat him was God the Father. And Jesus is his only begotten Son. We must believe those facts. He is the Son of God. He's not a man like you and I. He was fully God and fully man. We must know these things and believe these things to say we believe on the name of Jesus Christ. We can't say, well, he's not born of a virgin. That was a lie. He didn't really do these miracles. No, we believe the facts about Jesus Christ. But there's more than believing the facts. Do you believe on the name? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He didn't just say, here I am, Peter, John, look at me, you can touch me, I'm real. Just believe that I exist. See ya. He didn't say that. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus never said, just believe the facts about me, and I'm going to go do my thing. You can keep on living. He said, follow me. And that's what believing in him, I mean, one part is believing the facts, but the other part is, are you going to follow Jesus Christ? It'd be ridiculous for me to say, I believe in Barack Obama. But and then everything that he says, I'm like, well, I don't believe in his health care plan. I don't believe in this. I don't believe in that. No. Well, then you're not believing in Barack Obama. You know, it's contradictory. If I believe in Jesus Christ, I believe who He is, and I believe what He said, and I follow Him. Let's look at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. So if we believe that Jesus is the Christ, we can be born of God. We must be born of God to overcome the world. God gives us the plan and the rules for victory in this world. We want to have victory, and we're being told right here. But look at what Jesus, when we follow Jesus, what we're going to do will not look like victory in our mindset. It's not what we think is victory. Look at Luke 9, verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Sounds good. Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Jesus did not have a what? A home. That's the American dream. We all should have homes. Now you're going to follow a man that didn't even have a home? Is that a success? Is that living victory? Yeah, Jesus was he had victory over death. He's the ultimate victor. So when we follow Jesus, we're following a man that it doesn't look like to the world's view that he was successful. He doesn't even have a home. Look at verse 59. And he said unto another, Follow me. So Jesus told this man, Follow me. But the man said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Sounds like a decent request. Let me go do something else first, something important. But Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go and preach the kingdom of God. Now we can hear the gospel, and we can say, Well, you know, that's good. I'll follow you, but I've got to do some other things in my life first. That's not what Jesus said. The world would say, yes, you need to bury your father. You can do this. But Jesus Christ said, no, I am the most important. Let the dead bury their dead. Go and preach. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus wants you to follow him and to believe in him, to trust in him. And that means putting him above everything else. Not what the world tells us. You can just add Jesus on. Just believe in the facts. Do what you want. Come to church on Sunday. I don't know if Jesus would have went for that there in Luke 9. But Jesus wants us to have a victorious life. We can have victory, but victory, we got to get in our minds, is not what the world says. I mean, that is so hard to do. How could? Because we're ingrained in the way the world is. We're fleshly. We want stuff. But who makes the rules? Not Satan. Let's turn back to 1 John 5. I mean, we have to be a fool to play a game and not look at how do you win this game. You know, if I play Monopoly, I want to know, what am I supposed to do? Oh, take everybody else out? Okay, that's how you win. Right? You want to know how to win a game if you're going to play it. We want to know how to have victory in life. God gives us the rules right here. All right, let's look at verse 1 again. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And verse 4 tells us, Who is he that overcometh? For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. We have to be born of God to have victory. When we come into this world, we're born of a woman. We come out of our mother's womb. But to have victory, we must be born again. Jesus said, Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And we've all been born once, but very few people in the world have been born twice, have been born again, have been born of God. And if you ask that, you know, when have you been born again? That's a real sticking point for people. Okay, they say, well, have you been born again? Have you been born of God? When did you become a Christian? People will say, well, I've always been a Christian. I was raised in a Christian home. Not what Jesus said. Jesus said you must be born again. He didn't say you must be raised in a Christian home. You say, when did you become a Christian? People say, well, I was baptized at such and such a date. The Bible doesn't say that whosoever is baptized overcometh the world. Whosoever shall be baptized shall be saved. You must be born again. You must be born of God. People will say, when did you become a Christian? They'll say, well, I joined the church on such and such a date. Or I was confirmed. I passed my confirmation class. Is that anywhere in the Bible? That you must pass your confirmation class to see the kingdom of God. You must be accepted as a member of your church. No, you must be born again. We must be born of God. And how are we born of God? It says in verse 4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." We're born of God through faith. It's nothing we do. Okay? The victory that gives us, the victory comes through faith. "For by grace are you saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. It's not by works, it's through faith in Jesus Christ. If we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we will have victory in this world. Who is he that overcometh the world, verse 5 says? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So it's simple. To have victory in this world, we must place our faith in Jesus Christ. We must be born of Him. We cannot have victory without that. We're punting the ball 45 times unless we come and are born again. We're doing all these things over here that do not matter, that do not contribute to victory, unless we're born again. We want to have victory. The whole book of 1 John answers the question, and we see in 1 John 5, verse 13, it says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know ye have eternal life." The whole book was written so that we can know we have eternal life. How can we know that we're born again? How can we know that we're a Christ follower? That's what the whole book was written for. And we've seen over and over these different tests you can look at your life. And we can examine ourselves and prove our own selves, the Bible says, to see whether we have been born again. Okay, and we see a summary of those again here in verses 1, 2, and 3. In verse 1 it says, "Everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him that is begotten of him." So we must love God. Remember, God said, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. We must love God, and we must love Him that begat and the one that's begotten. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. So we must love the Father and love the Son. And if we love the Father, we will love the Son. We don't separate them. If we love one, we love the other. And we see in 1 John 5, verse 7, that they are all one together. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. So we must love God. And what does it mean to love God? Again, our world would say, well, just say you love God, and then you do. Or just, you know, sing a song and you love Him. That's not what Jesus didn't say. If you love me, sing a song. If you love me, just say it. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's how we show love to God. And how can we know that we're born again? Well, are we loving Him by keeping His commandments? Are we obeying His word? Look at verse 2. "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments." So if we're born of God, we will love the children of God. And that was last week's sermon. Look in chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. What we looked at last week. "If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God who he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." So we must as Christians, and we will as Christians, love our brother and sister. We must keep his commandment. That's a commandment that he gave us. And we love God by loving each other. Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" If we love God, we'll listen to him, we'll obey him. Look at verse 3. "For this is the love of God." What does it mean to love God again? How do we know if we're loving God? What does love of God look like? Here it is. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. So what does it look like to love God? It doesn't look like it's a, you know, just a real, you know, praise and worship service. That's not what God says is a loving Him. It doesn't look like you're, you know, you get yourself in sackcloth and ashes or whatever, and you go stand on the corner and that's not loving God. This is what it says. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. That's loving Him. And then it says this, "and His commandments are not grievous." Because that's a lie from the world as well, that His commandments are grievous. And His commandments are going to be, you know, terrible. That again is because we're duped into thinking that victory is having the house and the vacation home and the new cars. And if you follow His commandments, you're not going to have those things. And it's going to feel like, you know, that it's grievous. But he says his commandments are not grievous because we're getting victory. This is where we come back to victory. Okay, if we're born again, we will keep His commandments. When we keep His commandments, it's going to look like to the world that we're losers, that we're living in defeat. Because God's commandments are not set up for us to look victorious by Satan's standards. That'd be ridiculous for God to do. We won't be loved by the world if we're born again. Jesus said this, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." The world hated Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "If ye were of this world, the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." It was a done deal in Jesus Christ's mind that if you are following him, the world's going to hate you. Because it hated him. And what did this man do? He did nothing but show love to everybody, did nothing but heal people all the time, and the world hated him, according to Jesus Christ's own words. The world is going to hate you. That's what Jesus Christ said. And so that is that living a victorious life? Is that going to sell a lot of books? If I write it, say, "Be hated by the world. 10 steps to being hated by the world." Nobody wants to be hated. Right? But that's Christ. Christ sets the standard. And we're playing a game where we got to get rid of these rules over here that are not how you win the game and look to His rules on how true victory is given. I mean, look at this. Jesus said it's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. So being rich, according to Jesus Christ, is a hindrance to obtaining victory. Being rich, it makes it very, very, very hard. Whosoever cometh can do it. With God, all things are possible. But it's a hindrance. The world says, I mean, you can't have enough money. You can't have enough stuff. You can't have enough fame. But Christ says, no, it's a hindrance. I mean, His rules are totally different than Satan's rules that we've been growing up on. Because Jesus said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Jesus said it is blessed to be poor. And He was talking financially. He said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Now, is that going to sell a lot of books? Is that going to be a message that's going to be loved? Be poor! No. Who wants to be poor? Nobody. Because we play by those rules. Because we're punting 45 times a game. We look like fools, you know, to heaven. But according to this world, we're being smart. Whose rules are we playing by? Now, what does this mean? Does this mean that, you know, just yesterday, my brother and I, we were over at the auction across the road, and there was things going for cheap, and we thought, man, we could buy this stuff, and we could turn around and sell it and make money on this stuff. Is that wrong to do that? Say, it can be. You know, if we're doing that to try to be rich, if we're doing that to try to, you know, gain stuff, and to have money, Warren Buffett, I read about him. His goal from when he was little on was to be the richest man in the world. That was just his goal. It wasn't to, you know, live a comfortable life or be able to help people. Just to be the richest man in the world. If you're trying to be rich, to be rich. If you're trying to get stuff to have stuff, that's wrong. But the Bible says, on the other hand, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. But we're not to just, you know, give, you know, to not work, live on welfare, and then we're like, hey, we're blessed. We're supposed to work. But here's the deal. Any single person can live poor. You can make money, provide for your clothes, provide for your house, provide for your transportation. What can you do with the rest of the money that you make? Give it away. Right? You could give it to people. If your goal when you make money is to increase your stuff, then you're playing by those rules. Because that's a hindrance if you're rich. But by Christ's rules, we want to work. We want to provide for our household. We want to be wise, looking to the future. We want to do those things to glorify God and be a steward of what He gives us. But we don't want to be rich. We want to do all those things and be where we are taken care of by what God's given us, but not be rich. And that's a foolish thing by the world's standards. But whose rules are we playing by? Look at verse 4 again. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Our faith gives us the victory. And what are the spoils of this victory? In the Super Bowl, you know what happens? They get that confetti that comes down, and they get to kiss the Lombardi trophy. That's the spoils. Then they get to go to the White House. There's good things that come with victory. What do we get for our victory? Eternal life. Living forever, even forever and ever, in a perfect place. In the new heaven, in the new earth, with God, walking with us. And what about for losing? I mean, the loser of the Super Bowl, just they're number two. They just go home, they're fine. But if you lose here, what do? Forever in the lake of fire. Eternal torment. I mean, this isn't a game. Even though I'm comparing it to a game, this is life. This is eternal life in the balance. We're told what gives us victory, being born of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And we're told that all this other stuff is a mirage and that Satan's trying to get you to go after these things, but in the end, you'll lose. We want to look towards heaven. That's our spoils of our victory. And we want to be victorious. The Bible says, "Then shall be brought to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We want to be victors. We want to win. The Bible tells us how to do that. By faith in Jesus Christ. By being born again through faith in Jesus Christ. Understand that we are sinners. We are lost. And we need to come to Him for salvation. Because He died and shed His blood on that cross for you and for me. There's nobody, it's whosoever, that wants to can come to Jesus Christ. And it may look like, as Christians, that we're losing the game according to the rules that are set up by the world, that are set up by Satan. We have to keep our eyes on the rule book, keep our eyes on God's Word to know that, hey, I may look foolish, I may look like I'm going the wrong way, whatever, but I know the truth. And this is the truth. Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Jesus called the word truth. And Jesus proved it by dying and rising again. He is God. What He says, I believe. We want to all be victorious through faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You that You make it so clear what we need to do to be victorious, to overcome this world. Lord, I ask that if there's anybody here that has not put their faith and trust in You, that has not been born again, that they would do that. And they would believe in You. They believe the facts about You, and they would believe in You. They would trust You and follow You. And their life would be turned upside down by Your power. And that they would ask You to save them this morning. Because faith is the victory that overcomes the world. May we each have more faith in You. May You increase our faith. That we can have a glorious victory over this world, living according to Your rule book and not the rule book of the world, Lord. I ask You give us each strength out in this week, because it's one thing to hear it on Sunday morning. It's another thing to put it into practice on Monday through Friday. Lord, help us to have that strength. Help us to resist the devil. Help us to submit ourselves to You, to draw nigh unto You. And it's only through Your power that we can do these things, Lord. Lord, we love You and thank You for Your Word. I thank You for Your salvation. I thank You that we can get together this morning. Bless the meal coming up and all the time we have together. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.